The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, Rudy Sarzo, legendary bass player, comes on the show, and we talk all about old school rock and roll stories. If you're a big fan of Rudy, you could have heard this 5 days ago, commercial free. Just going to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR, get a 7-day free trial and access to about 20-something other shows and some great shows launching this month, like Zach Wilde Show, Aaron Berg Show. I think we got a couple others in the works as well, but those two are coming on at the end of January. But really all that matters is that you listen to the show, share it, listen to it, tell people about it, get it out there. We just had the best month ever on top of the best month ever. So great, let's keep that trend going. Here it is right now, the Rudy Sarzo episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, James Mattern. How are you, buddy?
Baby, this is such a big moment. This is exciting,
this guest. It's a big one. It's a big one. It's really exciting when these things happen. Shannon, by the way, we can't see how pretty you look in your outfit. Fling your cat off of you.
I'm waiting for him to settle down, and then it'll be okay.
I gave her three compliments today, which I think borderlines on sexual harassment, right? After one, it's not a good thing if I keep saying, I really like that outfit, Jen. That's like, makes you uncomfortable a little bit, right?
That's not even bordering on sexual harassment. It's everything else you say to me that does.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. She's clearing it up.
So let's say this guy. Okay, first of all, which is interesting, recorded 5 back-to-back multi-platinum records in a row with 3 different fucking bands, which is crazy.
Unbelievable.
In Ozzy, in Quiet Riot, in Whitesnake, with Jeff Tate's Queensryche, with the Guess Who. You go on and on. It is a true rock royalty, for God's sakes. He's also the host of a new podcast called The Dash Podcast, which I want to get into as well. You can follow him at sarzo.rudy. It's fucking Rudy Sarzo. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing? I love what you got going, the little family. You know, there's a lot of synergy going on.
Feel it, right? Because really, yeah, inside, Shannon hates me, sir. She has a seething hatred towards me, but she puts up with me.
Just like a typical family, I guess.
Yes, that's true. So also, by the way, happy belated birthday. I think your birthday was a week ago, not even at this point. So happy birthday, right? Which also, by the way, we'll get into it, but coincidentally, that day, which is, I think it's a week, the 18th, so whatever that is, 5 days or 6 days, right?
18th.
So that day, this year, 32 years prior, Slip of the Tongue came out. One of only 2 albums I ever waited online to buy at a record store.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Okay, which is the other one?
Milli Vanilli? No, it was...
I wanted to be like the Partridge Family. I wanted it to be something so not street cred.
Yeah, it was Queensryche's Empire. Queensryche's Empire.
Oh, yeah. Acceptable.
Waited for great the... record. Like, you know, a lot of records I bought the day after or whatever, but those two waited online day of to get those records. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Before we get into anything else, okay, the Dash Podcast, which is relatively new, right? The Dash stands for the time in between birth and death. So born this day, Dash this day, the Dash is representative of people of your life. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. And but I have to give you an update.
Okay.
The Dash, yes, it was new about 5 years ago. Because for the last 3 years, I've been doing, thanks to having the Dash podcast, I've been doing the Monster Rock Radio. It's a radio station part of the
Six Degrees of Sarzo.
That's right. Yes. And that is part of the Dash Network, which I was not aware there was a Dash Network when I created the Dash podcast. So there you go. Yeah, I've had that for 3 years. And as a matter of fact, this month is 3 years officially that I've been doing it. I'm having a blast. It's still for the same purpose. It's I call it originally the Dash, and my producer now for Monsters of Rock Radio calls it 6 Degrees of Sarzo. And it's basically the same thing I want to bring on the show. And it's all about my guests, about their legacy. And it's to have it documented, just like you're doing here in your show. You're documenting people's experiences and saying, you know, and your own.
All right, fair enough. So the thing that I found interesting, though, and I guess I'm a little dated in my info, but a fellow Cuban, comedian Joey Diaz, is the one who inspired you to even get into this format. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, yes, you're right. I had done a couple of podcasts with Joey, and I really enjoyed it. So I say, you know what? This I asked him for some tips, how to do it, where to have it. You know, the Dash podcast is separate from the 6 Degrees of Sarzo. And I have more of an eclectic mix of guests. 6 Degrees of Sarzo is focusing on the music industry, basically. Okay. Right, with some comedians, you know, like Joey, but there's so much that Joey Coco and I talk about music that it fits in.
I looked at, by the way, I was just curious about a list of famous Cubans, right? And it was some list that I found that was the top 100 famous Cuban people, and you came in the top 50. So congratulations, wow. You, sir. How about that?
Wow, that just made my day.
Yeah, Joey beat you by about three positions, but still.
Well, of course.
The first one I think of is Desi Arnaz when I think of Cubans. And when I, by the way, total left field that I just found this out the other day. James, I think I'm speaking your language with this one. I didn't know this. The only reason why Star Trek exists is because of Desi Lu Productions, which I did not know that.
I had no idea. That was shocking to me. Yeah. I thought you were going to be shocked that it was Sammy Davis on that list.
No.
He was secretly Cuban. He hid
it
because of communism. Yeah, son of a bitch. That he's Puerto Rican. He's Cuban, goddammit. Him on the list.
I didn't know that. The other two that I knew was Gloria Stefan and Al Jorgensen are the two that jumped out at me, you know, but number one, Desi Arnaz. But it's fascinating. Yeah. Lucille Ball funded two Star Trek pilots, which is crazy. I didn't know that. Yep. Did you know that? Is that common Cuban knowledge?
I wasn't ready in the United States when Star Trek was happening. So I don't know if it is actual Cuban knowledge, but it was not. It's common knowledge about, you know, around people that actually enjoy Star Trek. Like,
oh, okay. So I'm just an idiot is what you're saying. I get it. That's fair.
No.
I love that you thought because Desi produced it, that was more Cuban knowledge than nerd knowledge.
In my head, there's billboards in the street of Cuba. Thank us for Star Trek.
Oh, my God.
All right. So now let's get into that, because I don't know much. First of all, you and I met. There's no reason for you to remember this. But when you first rejoined Quiet Riot, I think it was in early 2000s or late 99. Remember that was, right?
When
you
97.
Went back, 97, yeah, 97, right? Late 90s, right? Sorry.
Yeah.
And you stayed until like, what, 2002 or something like that? I don't know exactly.
Three.
Okay. So. You did an album, Guilty Pleasures, and you, Kevin, I forget who else, came into my studio. I had a radio show called The Tour Bus out of WDHA in New Jersey, and you guys all came in. You performed a medley live. It was one of my favorite moments in radio. You did Love's a Bitch. You did. It was just great. It was a great moment. So that, and you did WDHA's Rock the Park. You performed live there, too. It was a great time, but we're going back 20 something years, so I don't expect you to remember that, but that was a great time.
Yeah, I do remember the tour bus.
Oh,
you know, the show, absolutely. Yeah. I thought that was pretty unique, and especially in 97 where you guys were having bands like Quiet Riot. I mean, it was for Guilty Pleasures. I think that was recorded in 98, 99. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like in the middle of the existence of that version of the band. And because remember, in 97, grunge was still ruling,
right?
You know, as far as rock and roll goes. And it was kind of like, it was uncertain about the future of 80s bands, you know, basically. So people like yourself have coming, you know, invited to play our new music. That was very special. So I definitely remember that. That's really cool. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, now you just gave me a huge erection. Thank you, sir, that you remembered that from so long ago.
So let's, is that going to be part of Cuban history now too, Rudy?
Yeah, there's going to be billboards.
Is Havana going to talk about Ralph's erection because of you remembering the tour bus?
You know, an erection is a horrible thing to waste.
I agree. Shannon, get over here. Let's fucking really do something awful now. So let me ask you this. I mean, I interviewed you a couple times back in the day and whatever. When did you come to the United States and how did you discover rock and roll? Because I know you didn't come from a musical family. Oh, I pissed off Rudy. He disconnected.
Yeah, well, you become part of history and then he has to get shy now. He's talking to royalty now because of this.
I'm here. Yeah, somebody just put another call in. Is this live radio?
No, we are. Yeah, well,
things happen. Recorded, you know,
fair enough.
It's like
enough.
The early days of TV, you know. And my family arrived in the United States in 1961. It was 60 years ago, September 1st of this year, that we celebrated 60 years of being in the United States.
That's pretty wild. Congrats. And did you know anything rock at the time? Like when you came here, were you aware of what any of that was?
I got to tell you, this is my first impression. I got to the United States and I was not aware of the dynamics that were happening between rock and roll and the United States government. And because I have my own governmental things to get to deal with communism in Cuba. So I wasn't really paying much attention to everything else. Not that it was like in the news, you know, about rock and roll in the Cuban news, you know, in Cuba, in Havana, where I lived. But I got to say, when I first came in here, there was no rock and roll on the radio. We had the Platters. We had Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, which I love, but it's not necessarily rock and roll, you know, blues, bass, rock. And that at that time, Chuck Berry, I believe he might have been in jail or had just been arrested for bringing a minor across state lines. Mm-hmm. Elvis, in the military, had been in the military. He was now making movies, you know, Blue Hawaii and all that stuff. And then you got Little Richard had became a minister. And Jerry Lee Lewis was in somewhere in Europe, in England, touring because he couldn't get tour in the United States because he had married his cousin. So basically, rock and roll was pretty much non-existent in the airwaves until the British invasion, which was a couple of years later in 1964 with the Beatles playing on Ed Sullivan Show.
And that's what changed everything for you, I guess.
I think for you and me.
Well, I like that. I'm a little bit younger, but I do appreciate it.
No. I say that as far as that radio, it changed radio.
Right. Of course,
rock radio.
And society.
But I did like, though, in an interview I watched with you when you talked about getting into a band, you said very blatantly, let's be honest, it was a great way to meet girls. And I like when a musician can be honest. That's what you did it for in the beginning. It may not be why you're doing it now, but it's definitely what was the motivation when you started.
Well, I still do. I mean, I want to please my wife of 37 years.
Right. It's a long time. I know. Congratulations.
We've been together 40 years now, you know, and since we met. Yeah. And you know, when I keep saying about the Beatles, of course, the Beatles is the substance that carried me through as far as being a musician and took my generation on a journey. They were the first band to actually dwell on spirituality or even, you know, personify it, you know, by attending Maharishi, Mahayogis, events and seminars that he was doing, going to India, you know, making records that included Indian musicians, you know, things like that. It had never really been done before. So, you know, we went on a journey with the Beatles, you know, they were looking for themselves. We were looking for ourselves, you know? And but at that moment in 1964, that was way too far ahead of me. I was just in puberty. I was 13 years old. I just going through puberty and there's these guys are playing. I go, okay, that's cool. And then the camera pans over to the audience and screaming girls. That's what sealed the deal.
It's a great motivator. That's for sure.
That's what sealed the deal. Yes.
That's hilarious.
So if it was screaming boys, do you think you would have been more of like a Stones fan? Do you think you would have Herman's Hermits of really pulled at your strings more? What do you think?
Freddie and the Dreamers.
Freddie and the Dreamers. God bless them. Yeah.
So now, is the truth here that the way you ended up, because you were in the seminal records of Quiet Riot, the way that happened is that you stumbled into a Quiet Riot show because you couldn't get into a Van Halen show, and that's how you met Kevin?
Yeah, exactly. I went down to the Whiskey. I couldn't get in. Van Halen was playing. It was sold out. So I just wandered off to down the street. I just landed in L.A., you know. And so I was just checking places out and networking. That's what we did. We didn't have any social media to let people know, hey, I'm in L.A. if you're looking for a bass player. It was, you had to do it in person. And it took a lot of walking. I didn't have a car at the time. So I was living in at the time, I was living off Melrose and Sweetser. And so it was kind of like, you know, within a mile or two, walking in 6-inch heels, because everybody else did. We're talking 1978.
Hey, still do. Why not? Right.
I'm going to wear 8-inch heels tonight just to prove that I'm more manly than both of you.
All right. You're awesome. and so I walk into this place, the Starwood. There's a bunch of kids. And I look at the band and I go, wow. Wow, these guys are doing an arena show in a club. Basically, it was just a club, you know, a big club with a nice stage, but just a club, you know. And so what I did is, you know, I watched the band. I was really impressed, and I just happened to stumble into Kevin, who was like, off, you know, after the show, he was walking around the audience, and he's I bump into him, and I go, hey, my name is Rudy, and I just saw you guys, and you know, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because you guys are going to get signed sooner or later, you know. And that was pretty much it. And then I left LA and went back, or went out of town to make some money playing club bands. And then, as I already had my ticket to return to LA, I get a call from Kevin saying that they were looking for a bass player, and a lot of people suggested that he should call me. And I said, hey, I'm going to be in LA next week. And audition and got the gig.
That's cool. That's really amazing. So in a way, you could thank Van Halen selling out in a show for you to get into Quiet Riot.
Yeah. Well, basically, that was the yada yada version of the whole story.
All right. Before we go any further, I will say, since Big J is not here, I'm pretty sure that the Empire will not be here. But if you are a responsible adult over the age of 21 and living in the States where Delta 8 is legal, and you want to get high, and you want to get really super duper legally high, then have I got news for you. Head on over to YoDelta.com and you can stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8. What is Delta 8? Well, it's found in hemp and it can be legally shipped to various states and it gets you high. That's the most important thing. At YoDelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all of your getting stoned needs. And I can tell you from the reaction of people at Gas Digital that Delta 8 definitely works and these products should be taken responsibly. So once more, go to YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of everything Gas Digital Network. And if you use the promo code GAS, that's G-A-S, you're going to get 25% off your order. So once again, the promo code is GAS. The website is YoDelta.com. They've got gummies and vapes, all Delta 8, all the 25% off. YoDelta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super duper high. All right, let's get back into it. And now the weird thing with you, brother, you know, do you consider yourself, and it's an odd question, but being that, like, on some like take Whitesnake, you know, you're in the videos and you weren't on one of the albums with Quiet Riot, similar thing that, you know, where you got into the band after that happened a lot, right?
Or no, yeah, you're wrong. Okay. Right. And I'm not going to give you the yada yada. I'm going to give you all the bullet points. Okay.
Please do.
Bullet point. Okay. Oh yeah. Well, we're talking about videos now, right?
Well, you were in
there. Okay. We're talking about videos because I'm on the cover of the second Japanese record with Randy, Kevin, and Drew, and myself. That was recorded by Kelly Garney, who, by the time I joined the band, they had auditioned every bass player in the world. The record was in the can, and you know they couldn't afford for me to re-record it. So. And of course, at the time, they were really pissed off at this guy. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, he wrote a book and he included all that information in his book about what happened. So I'm not going to go into it. But they say, hey, you're the bass player in the band now. We're gonna do the photo session with you. I say, okay. And then when I joined the Metal Health version of the band, except for two songs, and if you have the Metal Health record anywhere nearby, on the back of the album, from day one, Chuck Wright has been credited with the two songs that he played on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Wanna Let You Go and Metal Health. I play on the rest of the record. He recorded those two songs before I joined the band. And this is what happened. I'm on a break from Ozzy, and I got a call from Kevin Dubrow. Now, between the Randy Rhoads version of Quiet Riot and the Metal Health version of Quiet Riot, Quiet Riot ceased to exist, and it became known as, not really Quiet Riot, but it was called Dubrow. And it was like a revolving doors of musicians coming in and out. And it was the thing that was happening at that time, just pretty much like it is right now. Most musicians, they have multiple projects because, you know, the industry is not nurturing rock and roll right now. I mean, you know, as we know, rock and roll, you know. And the same thing happened in the 70s, late 70s. The focus was on punk and new wave. So all of us rockers, you know, we were just struggling to survive. Mm-hmm. Everybody had multiple projects to play in different bands, right? But Kevin named Dubrow, and he was the only member that remained constant during the whole thing, right?
It would have been weird if he wasn't in. If he left the group called Dubrow, that would be strange.
There's been attempts of that. Okay, so at one point, I'm actually living with Kevin right before I joined Ozzy for a few months, like 8 months, and I'm playing in Dubrow with him. So I got to play a lot of the songs in Dubrow as a member of Dubrow with Kevin that wound up on the Metal Health record, Thunderbird being one of them, which he wrote for Randy when Randy left to join Ozzy. So, okay, so I'm living with Kevin. This is 1981, April. I get the phone call to join the band. I'm going to give you the yada yada version. So I go on audition, get the gig. I go on tour with Ozzy and Randy and Tommy. And then later on, adding Don Airey for the Diary of a Madman tour. Randy passes away in March, and it was never the same again. You know, it was never the same. I mean, I can go into details, but I'm just trying to answer this question here. And so what happened is I got that call from Kevin. It says, during a break from Ozzy on tour, I was in LA, and he says, hey, you want to come down to the studio? And we're working on a possible record, you know, that's going to come out. Maybe, we don't know, but I want you to play on Thunderbird. And I said, sure. So I brought my practice bass, because all my gear was with Ozzy on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I record Thunderbird, which I knew because I used to play with that with him and Dubrow. And so I recorded that, and they go, hey, well, we got a couple hours in the session. Do you remember Slick Black Cadillac? And I went, yeah, sure. So I recorded Slick Black Cadillac and then a couple of other songs. So by the time I left that session, I've done just about half of the record. Okay. Then as I'm leaving, Tony Cavazzo, Carlos Cavazzo's brother, shows up to lay down with the band, Come and Feel the Noise. And they were trying to sabotage it, you know, because the guys in the band didn't want to record it. So Frankie says, don't worry, Kevin, I'm going to play it as bad as possible. So the producer gives up on it, on the idea of recording that song. So I go, I got to watch this, because I've never witnessed Frankie playing bad ever. So I watched that, and it's a one take. So I leave, you know, Come and Feel the Noise is a one take drum take.
Mm-hmm.
I play bass later on. I overdub the bass. Okay. Which had nothing to do with what Tony played. I don't even know what I have any idea what Tony played. I believe it was pretty good, but it was not what I played. Okay. So I leave a couple of days later, and I record Speak of the Devil, the live at the Ritz, Ozzy re-recordings of Black Sabbath with Brad Gillis and Tommy Aldridge. And then I within those days, I made the decision to leave Ozzy and join what became, again, known as Quiet Riot as soon as we all signed the record deal. And then I came back and I finished the rest of the record, recorded Come On, Feel the Noise, Breathless, maybe one or two more songs.
Wow.
So for the exception of Metal Health, I, as far as Quiet Riot goes, I'm actually doing the video of the song that I actually recorded.
Okay. Well, I apologize for getting it slightly.
Oh, it's all right. No, it seems to be a very popular piece of misinformation.
Well, one thing that's well established on this show is that I am somewhat of an idiot. So
no, you're the
pastor. No, you are actually. I love your questions and the way you put them together. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
Please.
All right. Go ahead, James.
I love the title track, Mental Health, but now I like you so much in these 22 minutes we've shared. I'm never going to listen to it again if you're not on the bass. That song's dead to me. If that's not your bass, I don't want to fucking listen to it again, Rudy. We've come too far already.
No. Chuck did a really good job, great job, you know, with Mental Health, and don't want to let you go. I think it really helped to make that record an outstanding record.
All right, before we go any further, you know these guys. They've been a part of the show forever. Talking about Yo Kratom. Yo Kratom is home of the $60 kilo. If you're going to take one tidbit of knowledge away from this little commercial, it is that Yo Kratom is the home of the $60 kilo. A full kilo, just $60. You head to YoKratom.com. It is high-quality, curated Kratom direct to you at wholesale prices. So no more wondering how long it's been sitting around at the gas station, overpaying at the corner store. Here at YoKratom.com, it's not only high quality, it's custom blends, it's wholesale prices direct to you, and it's kilos for $60. You cannot go wrong with the $60 kilo. So once again, it is YoKratom.com. You're over age of 21, you're already digging Kratom, then this is all you need to worry about. Go to YoKratom.com, stock up on some Kratom, get it for just $60 a kilo, and live a happy life. What more can I tell you? All right, so thank you to YoKratom, because you always want to support the sponsors that support the show. And let's get back into it. Well, now that this is the question that I've had. So you, as you said, you left Ozzy. It's well documented after Randy Rhoads passed. There was, you know, was never the same. I get that. But then you joined, went back to Quiet Riot, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not sure if this is true because I try and do my research. And sometimes I'm just, you know, misinformed. But there was apparently at that point some bad blood between Ozzy and Kevin. And is it true that you were backstage somewhere and Ozzy punched you in the face? Is there any truth to that?
Okay, it was not backstage. It was at a hotel. You know, it was in 1984, around August. We were doing there was a bunch of us bands: Rat, Ozzy, Triumph, Quiet Riot, Motley Crue, Night Ranger. Mm-hmm. And I say Night Ranger because I actually went to the hotel to say hello to Brad Gillis, Night Ranger, new guitar player who I have played with in Ozzy. And they were all sitting there with Tommy. So it was like Ozzy's band and Night Ranger and Brad Gillis. And we were just talking and stuff. And Ozzy comes by and we're in the lobby. And he was really, really out of it. After Randy passed away, his intake became very uncontrollable. And I get it, mm-hmm. I can see why, we all suffer and we all have, it was a painful experience that still lingers, and I get it. But yeah, that's where it happened.
And how hard does Ozzy Osbourne hit?
I don't know, because it was the drunken Ozzy that hit me, not actually Ozzy.
Not Osbourne. A sober Ozzy. Okay. So no, fair enough. No. So it didn't really hurt. It was more the emotional moment, not like he was trying to actually hurt you.
Well, I think he was trying to help. He was trying to get some anger out.
Okay.
And what hurt the most was this man that means so much to me. He's done, if it wasn't for Ozzy and Sharon, and Randy, I wouldn't have a career. And that's what hurt, that somebody was expressing so much anger towards me, somebody that I really respected and love, really. Mm-hmm.
Did it? Did someone come and break you guys up? Was it one punch and done? Like, what actually happened?
Okay. I mean, come on. The guy's drunk, so he throws the punch, and then he kind of like punches over, and people, the security guards, the whole place was filled with security, and they just grab him and take him away, and that's it. I guess,
Wouldn't it be great if Ozzy fought like he does when he's on stage? Like, it's the same thing. He throws a punch like, let me hear you! and then he throws you again, and then like throws, throws a pail of water at you.
If he does that much wind up before he hits anyone, I would imagine he would never connect.
But you know, I got to tell you, I let's see. No, I can't say that I ever did a show with Ozzy where he had been drinking. I'm talking about, let's say, drinking backstage before the show, and then he goes on stage and he's drunk. No, never. I can't recall that at all.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, James, did I interrupt you?
No, I'm good. I was just nodding because I thought it's very compelling to hear of Ozzy throwing a punch. Blows my fucking mind.
I wonder how many people in the world can say Ozzy tried to punch them. You don't hear that story too often. So it's a pretty good honor to have, Rudy, for sure.
You should make that a shirt. Ozzy punched me. Ozzy, that's swag. Let's get some merch out, Rudy. Let's go, baby.
It's all perception. That's your perception. Mine is a little bit more, I don't know, more emotional, I guess. More like I explained, you know, it had a different meaning to me that it would do to the observer.
Yeah, but I would say this. I would love to get punched in the face by Ozzy. That's just me.
I don't want much for Christmas, but Rudy, if you could get, I'm half Jewish, but if you could get Ozzy to take a swing at me, this would be the best gift ever.
Rudy, if you want to be nice, maybe let me and James join Quiet Riot. We'll tell Ozzy. He'll get angry, and he'll punch us in the face. There we go. So now, speaking of which, it was a big thing this year. You know, first, I think it was, I don't know when we actually lost Frankie, but Frankie was just a good dude, a guy
August
that
I...
August 2020. So he was a guy that I stayed in contact with ever since when you guys came into the Tour Bus Radio Show studios. Him and I stayed somewhat in contact, at least at some point, throughout every year from that point forward. Just a good fucking dude, right? Always liked him. He passed away. Obviously, the lineup of Quiet Riot, or Quiet Riot even existing at that point, was up in the air, I imagine. Can you walk us through how not only did it keep going, but you came back into the mix? I think it had something to do with his wife or something. I'm not exactly sure, but can you kind of tell us what you, as you seem like a very emotional, spiritual guy, I could be wrong, but that's the vibe I'm getting. Is it more that you did it to carry on his legacy? Like, I'm trying to understand how this came about.
Yeah, next year will be 50 years on November 18th on my birthday that I met Frankie, and we pretty much immediately started playing together. So this is in Florida. And how much time do we have? Because I have a little story that goes with it.
Let's hear it.
Okay, a little story. Okay. So November 17th, I go to the local shed in Dania, Florida, which is right next to Fort Lauderdale. It was called Pirates World, which was an amusement park. And then next to it was a shed that anybody from Deep Purple and Rod Stewart and Bowie was playing. Ziggy Stardust, one of the very few shows Ziggy Stardust did in the United States. And in 1972. So I go to the show November 17th. And I walk in, and there's a last-minute replacement band. And I'm watching them, and I'm going, wow, that drummer is amazing. You know, and I'm just like, every song, he just takes it to the next level. He's got this huge, massive drum kit. I really couldn't see his face very well because he was like, huge drum kit, and then gongs and, you know, all these other instruments. And you know, and he played them. It wasn't just there for production value. It was actually musical. Mm-hmm. And so I'm raving about him. And then Bowie comes on, and it was, you know, Bowie, the Spiders from Mars were actually kind of like glam meets folk at the time. It wasn't really metal. It wasn't really heavy. It was just great songs, you know, with a really unique stage image that they had. But at the time, you know, I was more into the Led Zeppelin, more Deep Purple, the heavier stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So this band that opened up really impressed me. I didn't know that they were local or whatever, you know. And so the next day I go to the Flying Machine, which was the local club hangout in Fort Lauderdale, and talking to some friends. And they go, one of them goes, hey, that's one of the guys from the band that opened up last night for Bowie. And I made a beeline straight for the guy. And I introduced myself and I start telling them how great the band was, especially their drummer. It was freaking amazing. So this guy smiles and doesn't say a word. Then after I'm done, I just shakes my hand and goes, "Hi, I'm Frankie. I'm the drummer." And that's how I met Frankie.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Which is almost exactly how I met Kevin. Now, I went there just to tell him how great I thought they were, not because I wanted to join the band or anything. I had no idea who these guys were, you know, if they were local or were just driving through and happened to do the gig. So, you know, that started off not only a friendship. Frankie was the best man at my wedding. I mean, we played in Florida together, and then we made the decision, you know, if we really want to make it, we can stay here because disco has really taken a hold, you know, at that time. So I left, and then he followed me to Chicago. We played together in Chicago, the city, not the band. Mm-hmm. And then we decided, okay, this is it. Let's go to LA. That was 1977. We were in Los Angeles living together, and we had a band there, and that we starved together, and we did amazing stuff together, you know. And then almost 10 years later, to the day that I met him, here I am in the same room, a studio, recording Mental Health with Kevin and Carlos. Before I joined them as Quiet Riot, he had been playing in Dubrow
Did you bring him in, or was he friends with Kevin?
It is what happened. Right before Randy made the final decision to actually join Ozzy, I had suggested to audition, you know, because I knew he was a great drummer, but the other guys, Kevin and Randy, they had no idea. To audition Frankie, but Frankie really didn't want to give this for Quiet Riot with Randy. But he came in, did the audition, but according to Frankie, because we talked about this later on, he said that he really didn't try to get the gig. You know, he was just kind of like, you know, going through the motions. But when Randy officially joins Ozzy, Dana Strum was the bass player. Actually, it was Dana Strum who was responsible for letting Ozzy know about Randy. Oh, wow. And the drummer was Frankie. And then, so they had that band together for at least 2 or 3 days. And then Ozzy's label gives Ozzy an ultimatum and says, "Listen, we cannot afford to take all of these guys from LA over to England to make the record with you. We can't afford all the work visas and you know, the expenses and everything. So just pick one." And Ozzy picked Randy.
Wow. But then now, like, with the coming back of into Quiet Riot, mm-hmm. what was the catalyst for that? What made you decide to do that?
Frankie, before he passed away, he told his wife that he wanted me to return to the band. Now I wanted to let you know, I was asked about a year ago, a little bit too close to his passing. Mm-hmm. I was at his bedside a couple hours before he passed away. And I mentioned this because it took Regina, his wife's, convincing the hospital to let me in the hospital. This is the pre-COVID shot. Pre-COVID shots.
Vaccine.
You know, the vaccines, because now I'm triple vax now. So, you know, but still, you know, there's certain protocols that you have to follow to go in, to get into the hospital. So she made it possible that I could, you know, go and say my goodbyes. I had seen Frankie the day before, but it's a little bit different when you're saying your final goodbyes, you know, to somebody you've known for, you know, almost 50 years, you know. And after he passed away, Frankie, I went over and sat down with Regina and, you know, just to talk, you know, just giving some comfort and, you know, and then she mentions to me that Frankie wanted me to return to the band. And I had to meditate on it because, to be honest with you, I was shell-shocked when I was asked that. Shell-shocked because Frankie had just passed away. So I'm going through this. I'm going through this mourning period, you know. And at that moment, I just could not give an answer one way or the other. Within a few weeks, I realized that it was the inevitable. It was unavoidable that I must fulfill Frankie's wishes. Okay. And now here comes the next step. I had made commitments to the band that I was playing with, the Guess Who, you know, because dates got moved from the 2020 calendar to the 2021. So I had to fulfill my 2021 commitment to the Guess Who. And there came a time in the middle of this year where I had to make a
decision.
I have made the decision. I just have to sit down with the Guess Who people and say, you know what? I've talked to Quiet Riot management, and I'm going back. I'm going back to Quiet Riot. And I gave them the option of finishing off the year or just doing as many dates as they needed me until they brought somebody else in. Because it has to be done that way. You just cannot, you know, pull the plug on people and say,
so
hey,
let me ask you a couple of questions on that. So number one, because you played with so many bands, you know, if someone was to ask you, like, if you didn't know anything about you and you'd say, who are you? Would you say, I'm the bass player from Quiet Riot? I'm a session player. I'm, you know, a guy that's been in a bunch of bands. Like, is there one that above all else you'd identify as? Does that make sense?
50 Cuban.
Yes, I am this year NAS bass player, basically.
is there one or not really? You just look at yourself as, do you consider yourself a session player? Like, what? How would you describe it?
I'm not really a session guy. I mean, session guy is...
Oh, maybe session's the wrong guy. Like, Phil, a nomadic bass player. I don't know how you would describe it because you've been around within so many different groups. Is there one that... Is it Quiet Riot that you most identify as the bass player of Quiet Riot?
If they were putting you in the Baseball Hall of Fame, Rudy, what team would you have on your plaque? Would it be Quiet Riot? Would it be Ozzy? Would it be Independent? Would it be the Cuban flag? What would you go with?
Okay,
he's like, or a baseball team. Pick the Yankees. Do whatever you want. Free country, Rudy.
What I love about this is that you guys are giving glimpse of the answer as you speak. So I'm just laughing at.
Just say Quiet Riot. Okay.
Stop pressuring the client, counselor. Jesus, what kind of court are we doing here, Shannon?
This is called suspense. This is what Alfred. Every Alfred Hitchcock movie is this, and I'm about to go into the.
This is just like Rear Window.
Okay, or the Birds. I was just watching the Birds the other night. Oh my God, the special effects, love them. Okay, this is my perception of my life. You know. And there's many perceptions of my life according to many different people out there. You know, just about everybody has a perception of everybody else. I describe it as alternative realities. Do you know that? And this is the way I look at it. I have myself. This is my reality. Everybody else, including all of you, are my alternative reality.
Very deep.
It's got deeper than I thought.
Okay.
I thought you were just going to say the Guess Who. I didn't know it was going to be a part of the Matrix, Rudy. I didn't know this was going on.
We are in the Matrix, but anyways, that's a whole different podcast. And I mean, it's okay. So we're talking about consciousness, and there's something about musicians. Okay, our art form is making waves. Waves. We are made out of waves at the smallest degree of existence of any particle exists because it vibrates. You have waves and then waves turn into particles. Okay. So consciousness is very important to us, which means that when you're in a band and everybody's vibrating at the same frequency, that is the ultimate feeling. And by that, I mean is if you go to a friend's record collection and you see you have, they have the same records as you have at home, you see you have something in common. Back in the day, we never spoke about religion. We never spoke about politics. All, it was all about the music. And the first band I ever had that vibration, that energy, that collective consciousness of four guys was Quiet Riot. You know, and every other band that I've ever been in, there's a degree of Quiet Riot that I bring to it. You know, but Quiet Riot was 100% each individual's consciousness blended into that, what the band stands for, you know. So you know,
let me just say this, by the way, Rudy. I asked a question, never thought the answer was going to involve astrophysics and a lesson in that. It definitely was not expected.
Oh, I can go in deeper than, I mean, if you want to look at any quantum physics perception, yes. We got going there too.
Yeah. We had Neil deGrasse Tyson on this show last year. We got to bring him back on.
Mash it up. Bring so these two together.
To Rudy. All right. Let's take a second to talk about our newest sponsor, and it is Zippix. Zippix. If your New Year's resolution is to quit smoking, stop smoking those nasty cigarettes, stop vaping, the answer is Zippix. Zippix has supported thousands of people who are trying to kick smoking or vaping with their new sublingual absorption that gets you the nicotine buzz quicker. Zippix comes in 6 awesome flavors, and you can use Zippix anywhere you're not allowed to vape or smoke. No smell, no smoke, no hiding cigarette butts, and it costs less than cigarettes. They're basically little toothpicks that have nicotine in them that come in some great flavors. So if you go to ZippixToothpicks.com, that's Z-I-P-P-I-X toothpicks.com, plural, you can start your healthier alternative to smoking today. Once again, ZippixToothpicks.com. All right, let's get back into it. Let me ask you this, though, just to bounce off. We don't have too much time with you. Some other quick, obvious questions. When you rejoined the band, I don't even know your relationship with him, if it's positive or negative at this point, but was there a thought of bringing Carlos back in too, or was that never on the table?
Yeah, to me, my perception, what I have control of is what I was asked by Frankie to rejoin the band. Anything else is outside of my sphere.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I know that Jizzy Pearl sings these days, right? If I'm not mistaken,
yes,
who was in Love Hate. And just a great dude. I've known him from the show also for years. And Johnny Kelly from Typo Negative is in the band as well.
Yes. Yes, he is.
It's in really right now.
As a matter of fact, Johnny was handpicked by Frankie.
Oh, he's a good dude. Yeah. Good dude.
And Alex Grossi, he's been in the band for, you know, almost 20 years now.
Yeah. And he was in fucking Bang Tango. That's where I remember him from before anything else. He's a good dude. And then also, which is an interesting story. We don't have too much more time with you, but I love that basically the reason why you ended up in the Guess Who was technically because of Jeff Tate's Queensryche, because Sash Jordan was singing. And that's how you got into the Guess Who. Is that right?
Yes. I had known Sash prior to all of us being on that configuration of Jeff Tate's band. You know, there were two Queensryches going on at the same time. To be honest with you, I always separated and I say I'm on the Jeff Tate's version of the band. I have never ever claimed to be in Queensryche.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Queensryche and Quiet Riot goes back to 1983 when we did our first headline tour. Queensryche was one of the guest bands.
Oh, wow.
And they had the EP, Queen of the Reich. And how I met those guys. I'm a huge fan of them. I love their music. And so I just wanted to be clear about that.
All right, good enough. All right, so now last couple of quick questions. First is, how the fuck did the Metal Disney record come out? What the hell is the story behind that? It's so bizarre to me. Was that, I don't know anything about it other than I remember hearing a few tracks. James, just so you know, he got together with a few other metal dudes. They put out heavy metal versions of Disney songs.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go Google Cruella de Vil right now because that's been waiting to be metaled up for a long time.
Yeah. One of my favorite tracks was the one Down by the Sea or something, you know, with the mermaid with the clamshell sings that.
Under the Sea?
Metal version. Under the Sea. Yeah.
With my girl Frozen. Ariel? I mean, this is the greatest thing ever.
They also, by the way, they did It's a Small World. They did A Whole New World, all metal versions.
I'm canceling my date and my two gigs tonight just to listen to this on a loop. It's done. I needed this. I didn't realize
way,
I needed
it
this.
Sold it sold really fucking well, too,
of
which
course
is
it
just
did.
Crazy.
It's Disney.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you this. Look, I grew up with Disney when it was Disney, when it was helmed by Walt Disney, not this thing that's going on now, you know. And you know, with all due respect, it is a corporation. It's not Walt Disney running it. You know, he's gone on. And I know that they try to keep up with the times and are doing their best to expand, you know. But I got to tell you, one of the things that I believe made Disney so successful was the fact that it brought out the child in the adults. It wasn't just about children. It's about a cradle to the grave connection with something special in your life, you know, that's going to help you go back to your childhood and reconnect with that. Especially, you know, like myself, I mean, I've had some challenges growing up, you know, especially, you know, leaving my native country and adopting the United States, which is a blessing to be here, you know. And but, you know, for a child, that could be a little challenging. And there was always one constant. We had Walt Disney in Cuba coming to the United States. We still have Walt Disney, something to hold on to.
That's cool. Yeah. By the way, I recommend the listen. It's called Metal Disney is the name of the record. And the D Metal Stars, I believe, or something like that. But it's definitely worth a listen if you've never heard it before. It's definitely unique takes on songs we all know is the best way to put it. And then my last thing before we do the first, and looking at your Instagram, yes, James.
Well, I wanted, before you go to the first after this, I got to tell Rudy something.
Tell what you got to say. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So Rudy, this is good. So I moved to New York years ago. And then when I come back for the holiday, my cousin Fawn studied abroad and she was in Poland for a while. Okay. And she told me what city she was staying in, and she's younger than me and wasn't in the metal. And it's like Rudy Sharja. And I'd be like, wait a minute. There's a town in Poland named after the bass player, Quiet Riot. And so she's listening to like Christina Aguilera. She didn't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I'm like, yeah. And I'm totally butchering it, but it's like Rudy Sharja. Every time I meet someone from Poland, I try to tell them that I can't enunciate it for shit. And they're like, there is no town named that. Fuck your cousin and listen to Christina Aguilera. But I'm like, no, man, it's how metal is Poland that there's a town with your goddamn name? That's all I wanted to say. I've been sitting on this for 40 minutes. I'm sorry, Ralph. But that's why when I was told that this show would be with you, I'm like, yo, I'm going to tie him into Poland. This will be my greatest moment of my life. So thank you, Rudy.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the first one, I really appreciate that. Actually, Starzo is one of those names that actually I'm in contact with my family up in Padova, Italy, which is right outside of Venice, northern Italy. And, you know how it was things in let's say South America, people migrate from place to place, even the United States. So there's I find Sarzos all over the place. So yeah, we have a tribe, a Sarzo tribe in Poland.
Strong. Wow. Strong, baby. Well.
So in looking at your Instagram, dude, obviously you're very involved with sheltering dogs or working with a shelter for dogs. I guess that's something that's very near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, it's like breathing. I don't even think about it. I just do it.
You That's know. Cool. Yeah. So you work with a shelter, I guess, in your hometown. Is that what I saw? A bunch of dogs that you listed as available for adoption.
Yeah, there's some that I support in my hometown, but I don't like to be restricted to an area. So I try to create awareness of as many shelters in need of rescuers as possible. Even around the world. I mean, I posted about, you know, even in Europe, you know.
Yeah, it's not like dogs are all taken care of in another country, just not here.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
We got to do the first. Let's do that now.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. We ask every guest this about their first experience with all three. We will start with concert. What was the first show you went to? It doesn't have to be rock, but the first show you went to, ideally on your own volition, and ideally, hopefully, something we heard of, not some Cuban band that, unless it's Desi Arnaz, that would be cool, but whatever. What was the first show that comes to mind?
First rock show, live rock show, would be Vanilla Fudge, Dinner Key Auditorium, in Coconut Grove, Florida.
Yeah. We just had Carmen Appice on the show not that long ago, so that's cool.
Yeah. He's a dear friend of mine. And he knows, I mean, I've told him this story so many times, him and Mark and Tim, who actually changed my life when I saw him that day perform. I know so many bass players of my generation that I felt the same way about Tim Bogart. Really, if anybody asks who's the most underrated bass player in my book, it would be Tim Bogart.
Tim, at that show is when Rudy decided, oh, I want to play bass.
Well, no, I want to play bass like that.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Weed could have been my first drug. I did that for about 2 days, 2 or 3 days, until I got cotton mouth and I got kicked out of a party. Actually, a party for, was that band, that song, Time. These Chambers Brothers, Brothers. And you have to be really, really fucked up to get kicked out of a Chambers Brothers party, you know, for having cotton mouth. This is what happened. My lip disappear, go like this.
Just went like that?
Just like that. And I freaked out because I thought I was going to be like that for the rest of my life.
By the way, that's a great screenshot to have of him to promote this record.
Absolutely.
Rudy Sarzo loses his mind on the SDR show. That would be
that'll be a good picture to promote that town in Poland. That should be the sign. Welcome to Rudy Sarzo.
And now the first time you had sex.
I got to tell you, it was the scariest experience ever.
Oh, boy. That's a great lead-in.
I was all alone.
Oh. You going with that?
You going with that story? All right, we'll drop it there then. That did we find. Fair enough.
There's got to be ears around, Ralph. There's ears around. Right.
Yeah. Like I am the first one ever, right?
Well, we meant intercourse, but we're not going to push the story if you don't want to tell it.
See, that's something else. You know,
we thought you were in the fifth, Rudy. We didn't know what you were doing there. We thought there was maybe some spies in the house. We don't want to get nobody in trouble. We just want juicy stories, but we get it. Okay.
Fair enough.
You want a story? I'll give you a story. I'll give you a story.
Give us the story.
Okay. And I have, up until this point, I have been dating exclusively Cuban girls.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s, early 60s, you know, they did not put out, especially Catholic schoolgirls, you know. So it was like, okay. So I was around 19 years old, which was common in the 60s. If you're living at home, you're 19 years old, most likely you're still a virgin with yourself, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, a guy, you know. And so I started playing at this club in North Miami Beach called the Topless Tomboy Club. And I, you know, first time I actually saw a naked woman.
Wow.
We shared the same dressing room, the band and the dancing girls, you know. And we were the house band. I mean, that's a whole different podcast, you know, talking about this, but I'm getting to the point. So about within 2 weeks of being there, a band came in from San Francisco. It was the world's first topless band.
Wow.
Female topless band.
Yeah. I was hoping you meant female because,
I was let down quite blunt. I'm more progressive than you guys. I was let down.
That's for sure.
And so that's it. But yada, yada, yada.
Some chick in a topless band took your virginity.
That's right.
All right. I like that story.
And ran away with it. Yeah.
Okay. Ran away with it. Ran away with your heart as well, Rudy Sarzo.
Oh, no. No, by then I thought I was a stud.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So we'll go around the room and do plugs. Obviously, you're back in Quiet Riot. I think dates are out there for the guys, right?
Yeah. We got about 30 dates already booked for 2021. We have one coming up this December. I'm thinking about next year. But this year, we have two shows in December. We have one coming up in Dallas. I believe it's the 6th of December, and we're playing in Dallas, and also New Year's Eve in Las Vegas at the Fair, at the Fremont Country Club. Yeah. New Year's Eve.
Good. And also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. And then we kick off the New Year's starting in somewhere in January.
Are you doing shows solo Quiet Riot? Are you on any package bills or you don't know yet or you can't
both,
say
both,
yet?
Both. Oh. Yeah, yeah. We're doing some packages with Skid Row and Winger. And they're putting all their us. Oh, yeah. We're doing the Chris Jericho cruise.
Strong.
In March. Cool. Yeah, there's a bunch of dates that we have with, you know, different bands. There's a show, the Mohegan, in February with, I believe, Slaughter and Winger. I hope I'm not wrong.
That ties the whole Danish drum story back into that with Slaughter.
That's right.
Sure and you can follow Rudy at sarzo.rudy on Instagram. Anything else you want to plug before we go around the room?
No, I've had a great time. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. And thank you for the lessons in astrophysics. James, your plugs.
Yeah.
V. James Madden on Instagram. Commissioner Comedy Podcast is out. New podcast drops in January with Shuli. Thanks for coming out. A podcast about bombing. And my album is out, baby. The new one. The Check Spot, me being interviewed by the audience while they pay their bills. The worst part of the comedy show. Debuted at number one. Let's bring it back, baby. I can't be behind Cosby anymore. It's insulting. So go get the Check Spot, number one. And I'm going to miss you by a few days in Vegas, Rudy. I'm going to be at the Comedy Cellar the 20th through the 26th at the Rio, baby. Back home. The boy is back, baby. Yes.
James, if you were a real rock dude, James, you would stay a few extra days to go see fucking Quiet Riot. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm tempted, but I got to come back here and work. But I'm tempted, baby. I mean, that sounds like a good time.
All right, Shannon, your plugs?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have interesting people from all walks of life come on and tell their personal experiences with bad dates, street fights, and the paranormal.
Rudy, do not give an indication of this, but we always try and guess. Does our guest believe or not believe in ghosts? We're each going to answer. Do not indicate your answer until we all get our info locked in. I'm going to say 100% yes. James?
This is the easiest layup in the history of layups. Yes.
Shannon?
I'm yes, but I'm not 100% because I'm thinking...
Science?
There's a chance there's a scientific explanation behind things, but I'm more so yes than no.
Rudy, do you believe in the afterlife and the ghosts or no?
I believe that we are infinitely alive. So there's no afterlife because it's just a continuation.
Wow. I don't know how we chalk that one up.
I think that's a yes.
I think I'm right. I think I'm just right.
I think Shannon gets that one. Yeah, for sure. I follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness comes out every Monday called the GSP, the Good Sugar Podcast. Rudy, an honor to have you on the show, dude. It is you probably have the record. 5 platinum records in a row with 3 different bands. Who the fuck else could say that? That's pretty wild. I'm sure that there is a metric somewhere that tracks that, and you're probably the only one. Am I right?
In 8-year span.
But also 3 different bands. That's the thing that's crazy about
it. In 8 years, I know.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. That's,
yeah.
All right, and we're going to play a song. Why don't we do Under the Sea from the Disney All-Stars? Why the Metal Stars? That'd be fucking funny shit. We'll add that to the playlist, and we'll see you next time on the SDR show. Thank you so much.
Listening to the SDR show.